Good morning. Please join me as we sing together our opening song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Good morning and welcome to Main Street. I'd like to call your attention to four particular announcements. Other announcements are found in the weekly newsletter as well as your bulletin today. If you would, please record your attendance here in the service this morning. And if you would like to be placed on our newsletter mailing list, please also include your address. As you know, Lent begins this Wednesday, March the 1st, and the noonday Lenten pilgrimage also begins that day with the first service over at First Baptist Church. Soup and sandwiches served at 12 or 1 p.m. The worship is actually at 12:35. If you'd like to make reservations, there is a brown Lenten luncheon card in the pew pockets this morning, I do believe. You can use that by putting it in the offering plate. Also, you can call the church office by noon tomorrow, that's Monday, by noon tomorrow, to make your reservations. Our Ash Wednesday service will be this Wednesday at 6:15, which obviously, again, the first day of Lent. We will have a different schedule that night. A spaghetti dinner will be served at 5:15. And by the way, this is a fundraiser for our youth, so please attend for that part of it as well as the service, and that'll give us good support for our youth program. Other activities, the alternate programs, will not be held that night, such as the Bible studies and angel choir and the youth activities. Joyful Ringers will not meet. The Music Makers will meet at their regular time. Also today, Christopher Corbett is going to be playing at 3 o'clock in the American Guild of Organists recital, and that is at First Baptist, is that right? Over at First Baptist today at 3. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
please stand and join me in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin? But now we hear, and the voice is saying, "This is my beloved Son, to this one you shall listen." And though we still question in our hearts what this means, we will follow you. And though we descend the mountain fearing what mystery lies ahead, we will trust you. As surely as God lives, we will never leave you. Seated. Please join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. God of glory and mercy, before his death and shame, your Son went to the mountaintop, and you revealed his life and glory. Where prophets witnessed to him, you proclaimed him your Son. But he returned to die among us. Help us face evil with courage, knowing that all things, even death, are subject to your transforming power. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now I'd like to invite Scott Maxey to come forward and share with us just briefly his experience and story of prayer warrior ministry from both sides, having been a young person as a part of it and having been a sponsor as well. And where is he? Thought it was March the 26th. Okay. Then we'll go directly to our community concerns. As listed in your bulletin, Jason Ballantyne's father, Ray, has had some surgery. He's awaiting test results, and we need to keep him in our prayers. Evelyn Irwin is amazingly here today, having had her knee replaced some 5 days ago. Okay. I'll remember this story the next time someone said it was a little cold, so I didn't come to worship. I'll point up Evelyn. Evelyn the Fierce. Cecil Browning is doing okay in the Morton Health Center. He did crack his pelvis, but they're not going to do any further treatments. He just has to take it easy for a while. Helen Taylor, Bill Chalmers, has been moved out of rehab and up to the third floor. He's having some complications. Please be in prayer for Bill and the family. For Joyce Bartless, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Beth Gray, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falaw, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. Please also notice the deaths we've had recently of our extended family of our members. Lisa Castro lost her mother, Mary Holroy. Skippy Rice and Jenny Burgesson lost their mother, Mary Alice Cameron. And we've had several situations along those lines in the last several weeks. Let us be mindful of these concerns as well as our own as we lift them to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, bless us as your children as we together pray. We stand on the edge of the season of Lent, a time of looking inward and at our dependence upon your grace. We seek your help, and with hope we work out our faith, sometimes with fear and trembling. We see the darkness, and we know how dim is our own light of love to others. We rejoice above all blessings in the gift of hope. In all things we take comfort in knowing that the future is yours and our past are redeemed by Christ's merits. For the lasting gift of hope, we thank you above all our temporary blessings. Guide us in this season, Father, and give depth of spirit to our worship that we may experience anew the wonder and the marvel of the Creator God becoming flesh for our salvation. Save us from emptiness. Save us from fear and isolation. Save us from bitterness. Give us and guide us to deeper levels of faith and knowledge of your presence and your great availability through your Spirit to help in our struggles. As you made yourself known to the disciples on the mountaintop and in the dark valley below, make yourself known in our history. And as you came into the world as light in the darkness, come into our darkness and give us light. Lord, spread your influence throughout the nations and the leaders of this world, we pray. And teach us compassion that fewer may suffer want. Teach us love and peace that we might make war less often. Help the light of your sun shine brighter in a world that is plagued with darkness and violence and strife. We pray now for others, for those ill in body and ill in spirit, for those lonely and afraid, for those empty and depressed, for those who face betrayal and hurt, for those who need forgiveness and love, for our families, our marriages, for ourselves. We lift up our silent prayers in our hearts. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray boldly as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would like the children to come down front now for the children's message. Today, a special message with Susan Pinckney.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Can I see some smiles on faces? Good morning. Okay, I want you to notice that I have something on my jacket this morning. Can anyone read this for me? What does it say? Joe, what does it say? What does it say, Joe? All right, it says, I love Jesus. Actually, it says, I heart Jesus. And you all will be getting one of these in just a few minutes. I am so sorry that you haven't heard the scripture reading yet, but a little bit later, you will be hearing a scripture from 2 Corinthians that talks about letting God's light shine in your heart. And I'm going to give you the secret of how you can let God's light shine in your heart. Except this is not a secret that you need to keep. This is a secret that you need to share with other people. Later on during our service, Reverend Dennis will be reading the gospel lesson to us. And in that gospel, we will be finding out that Jesus took three of his disciples with him way up on the very top of a mountain. And after they got there, something very special happened to Jesus. Jesus changed in his appearance. And the disciples were able to see Jesus in his full glory. When this happened, Jesus' clothes turned dazzling white. And this was kind of frightening to the three disciples that witnessed this. And they didn't quite know what to do or what to think. But God spoke to the three disciples when this happened. He said to them in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, he said, "This is my son whom I love." And then he said, "Listen to him." Okay, those three words are very important. Listen to him. That is the secret to how you can let God's light shine in your heart, by listening to Jesus. But we can't listen to Jesus the way the disciples did, because Jesus is not here. Jesus is not somebody we can reach out and touch. And we can't hear Jesus speaking to us the way you hear your parents speaking to you or your teachers. So who can tell me how we can listen to Jesus? And I've got a big clue right here in my lap. How do we listen to Jesus? Okay, Jacob? By reading the Bible. That is exactly right. By reading the Bible, if you can read, and if you can't read, by listening to other people read the Bible and Bible stories to you, like your parents and your Sunday school teachers or your grandparents. Now, you already know a lot of things about Jesus and the teacher, right? You know a lot of things about Jesus already and how he interacted with other people or how he treated other people. Who can tell me if you know a way that Jesus treated other people? With a lot of what? Well, what about this heart on your sticker? That stands for what? That stands for love. Jesus treated people with love and with kindness and with respect. And he helped people that were in need. He was compassionate to those people. So we could use Jesus as our model of behavior. Jesus is the one that we need to look to find out how we should act toward others and how we should get along with others and help others. Okay, so this is the secret, and I want you, when you go home and you have your sticker on your shirt, remember, I love Jesus, and let that remind you that you need to listen to Jesus and do what the way he did with others, to be kind to others and love others. Can we bow our heads, please, for prayer? Dear God, we thank you so very much for your son Jesus. And we thank you that we can listen to Jesus by reading the Bible. I pray your blessings on each one of these children, and I pray that they will be able to let your light shine in their heart as they love Jesus and listen to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pass the peace.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah told him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Please remain seated for our Psalter number 783.
Oh,
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Our sun, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silent, before whom is a devouring fire, round about whom is a mighty storm.
The cause of it and the fire, and to the earth, that the people may be judged.
Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God alone is judge.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
But I will not accept a bull from your house, nor a he-goat from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Offer the God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Be exalted. God above the heavens, let your glory be.
But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips?
You hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you.
If you see thieves, you are their friends, and you keep company with adulterers.
Your mouth pray rain for evil, and your tongue frames the sea.
You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your mother's son.
These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you.
Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I rend, and there be none to deliver.
Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me, and those who order their way aright, I will show the salvation of God. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory be over all the earth beyond.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us a portion to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon this tithe we return. Bless it to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to him Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to begin with a story that probably is familiar to you. An older brother and a younger sister were outside playing on a beautiful early spring day. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and Susie was swinging back and forth, and she was singing over and over and over, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And Johnny, the older brother, got tired of it. And as she swung back one time, he grabbed both chains at the same instant and held them as she went whoop and fell out and skint her knees up and tumbled up and scratched her face. And she went crying to her mother, Johnny was in a lot of trouble. Later that afternoon, the mom noticed that Susie was still sort of pouting around. The scratches weren't that serious, but she just was in a terrible, terrible mood. And the mother asked, "What happened, Susie? What happened to that little light of yours?" And she looked up with a pout and she said, "Johnny, put it out." This world tends to put out our light. Saints are often painted as having a light about them, a glow about them. It's portrayed usually as a halo around their head. Dale Bruner, a scholar, shed some light on this. On that mountaintop, he writes, what Jesus was within was at once made visible without. It was a preview of the heavenly transfiguration awaiting believers. You see, the rabbis taught that Adam lost the radiance of his face because of his sin, and that the Messiah would give this radiance back. The Gospel's transfiguration stories show the beginning of this restoration. In Hebrew, the word is Shekinah, the glow of God's presence. Imagine Jesus glowing so brightly that he outshone the sun in broad daylight. Would you be afraid? I would be. And Peter and James and John were. Matthew's version says, he was transfigured before them and his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. You know, Celtic Christians speak of thin space. Thin space is where the boundary between this dusty world we live in and the heavenly realm is so thin that the holiness of God can break through. It's very often on mountaintops. And have you ever noticed that all cultures and all faiths think of mountains as holy, are nearer to God? And even some cultures that are out in the desert are on flat land. They build mounds, they build ziggurats, they build pyramids in order to have a false mountain. And they attribute that as being somehow nearer to God. So here we are on a mountain. We aren't sure exactly which one. And the holiness of God shines through Jesus. This is big. This is fearful. It is an awe-inspiring moment. Years later, Peter quoted this amazing happening as a proof in 2 Peter 1:16. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." And in that moment, when it happened, they really had no idea, the disciples, what was going on. He could not comprehend, Peter and James and John could not comprehend what was going on. I grew up with Snoopy and Linus and Charlie Brown, and I love that comic strip. And I remember one in which Linus and Lucy and Charlie Brown were just lying out on the ground and they were looking at clouds go by. And Lucy said, "If you use your imagination, you can see all sort of formations up there in the clouds." And said, "Linus, what do you see?" And Linus said, "Well, those clouds over there look like a map of British Honduras and the Caribbean. And this group over here looks a little bit like the stoning of Stephen. There, can you see Saul holding the coats?" Lucy says, "Very good. Now what do you see, Charlie Brown?" And Charlie Brown pauses a long time, and then he said, "I was going to say that I saw a ducky and a horsey, but now I've changed my mind." Sometimes we look at the most amazing things and we don't realize what we're seeing. What did they see? What does it mean? The Transfiguration is very seldom sung about. It's very seldom even put, I have noticed, in the picture books that we give our children about Bible stories. They don't know how to picture it. We don't know what to do with it. Some people don't believe that it even happened, but Matthew and Mark and Luke have the same story. And John begins with that same theology of Jesus as God in flesh, as the true light in the darkness of this world. John comforts us in his gospel, and he also warns us by saying that Jesus is the light which the darkness cannot put out, but it will try. The story is told of a man who got a permit to open the first tavern in a very small, formerly dry town. And the members of the local church were very opposed to this tavern opening up, so they began to pray publicly that God would intervene, and God didn't. They got their permits and they were ready to open, and a few days before it opened, a storm came along and lightning hit the tavern and it burned to the ground. Now the people of the church were surprised, but they were pleased. Until they received notice by the tavern owner's lawyer that he was suing the people of the church. He contended that their prayers were responsible for the burning of the building. Now, in a strongly worded deposition, the church and their lawyer denied the charge, denied any responsibility. Now, at the conclusion of the hearing, the judge wryly remarked, "At this point, I don't know what my decision will be, but here's where we appear to be. Number one, the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer, and the people of the church do not." Now, does the church believe in the power of God or not? I am asking you this morning to take this transfiguration story at face value, at Jesus' face shining brighter than the sun value. Now, what does that mean to your faith? It was just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of the glory and the otherness of God. Have you never had such a small glimpse or something along those lines? I hope that you have. It is enough. Even a small glimpse. Something happened on that mountaintop. Something that made no sense at the time but sustained them later on. Jesus, whose glory filled the skies, became brighter than the sun. And there with him was Moses, the lawgiver. It looks like Moses finally made it to the promised land. And also the prophet and reformer Elijah appeared, and they were holding a meeting right there on the mountaintop in front of Peter and James and John, and they were terrified out of their wits. And this gives me fear even today, fear that even in the afterlife there may be meetings. Anyway, poor, impulsive, thick-headed Peter. He thought this vision had not come to pass, but had come to stay, and he offered to build some shelters to stay in. He said, "Let's not go into Jerusalem. Who knows whether they will welcome us or not. Let's just stay here on the mountaintop." In an unpublished sermon, Will Willimon says, Peter wanted to fix that transfiguring mountaintop moment in concrete. He wanted to set it in epoxy for all time, but we can't. Glimpses like that come and they go. And God's continual flirtation with the world, only rarely does God bowl us over or write some slogan across the sky in neon. More often, God quietly courts us and pulls back the curtain for a peek. And when such a glimpse is given to you on a mountaintop in Judea or of all unlikely places in Main Street Church, cherish it. Don't even try to capture it, for it is a gift, a glimpse, a fleeting, blessed gift of revelation. You don't get to stay on mountaintops. That's not the kind of world that we live in. That's not the kind of faith that we live out. Our faith here in the dark comes with fear and trembling and sometimes doubts to overcome. Mountaintop dreams and visions, close encounters with God are for strengthening you and me to face the dark moments ahead. And here is the bad news. Every single one of us has dark moments ahead. Every life and every faith. You can't stay on a high forever. On a physical level, you can ask any compulsive shopper or compulsive gambler or serial adulterer or substance abuser. You can't stay on a high forever. Life edges in and highs cannot be sustained no matter the cost or the number or the dosage. Mountaintops are rare. Valleys and deserts and plains are the norm. Remember this mountaintop vision. It was just before mounting conflict with church officials, which led to Jesus' arrest and then the cross. The disciples needed this vision, and we need it too. We need it too. We need to know and to see in our heart and soul that Jesus is God in flesh, erasing the darkness, even erasing the dim stuff that we mistake for light. He can and did overcome fear and sin and death. And He is above and beyond the law and prophets. His grace, His love and forgiveness and eternal hope trump what the law of Moses could ever do. His opening the door of heaven and cleansing us by His own perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world does more than any prophet could do. He did not give the law. He fulfilled it. He lived it. He loved God completely and He loved His neighbor completely, and He was obedient even unto death. As God's voice said to the trembling disciples lying there on the ground, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him," and poof, there was no Moses, and poof, there was no Elijah. They saw Jesus only, Jesus alone. Moses on Sinai was also encompassed by a cloud and was in God's presence. And so he was infused with God's Shekinah, God's light and glory. And so you may remember, and you may not, that when he came down the mountain, Moses' face glowed from that encounter. And he had to wear a veil to keep from scaring people. It's in your Bible. I know some of you don't believe me. You're going to go look that up. The children of Israel were led in the wilderness by a pillar of fire by night, and even we in heaven are said to glow with God's holy light. Yes, in Matthew 13:43, it says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun." In heaven, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Imagine someday, some eternal day, shining like the sun. And also you may have noticed in the Revelation of John, it describes the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, as having no sun, no moon, and no need of it. Listen to Revelations 21. "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Children of God, do not fear. Even though the cross is coming, darkness is coming, the glorified, God-filled, God-enfleshed Savior's light cannot be put out. God wins in the end. This is the message of the New Testament. I don't know what darkness assails each and every one of you right now. I don't know what darkness you are dwelling in or struggling with. But there's a word that we could all use, and it is this: God wins in the end. Christ, whose glory filled the skies, will hold you. Fear not. When the disciples come to the end of their mountaintop experience, they do look up and see only Jesus. No dazzling light, no Moses, no Elijah, no bright cloud, no dark cloud, no heavenly thunder, just Jesus humanly standing there in front of them. The Transfiguration gave them a peek, a glimpse, and I do hope you have had something along those lines. Christ is more than teacher, more than man, more than a cultural icon. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. That is what Peter and James and John saw, God with us in Christ. The author Robert Fulghum frequently attends seminars and lectures and has a sort of joke that he always does. You know how the lecturer at the end of a talk will ask a rhetorical question, hopefully rhetorical, "Are there any questions?" And he and the entire audience hopes that there are no questions. Well, Fulghum says, always, he asks, "What is the meaning of life?" And that's his joke, and everybody laughs. And then he tells a second joke, and that is, he'd hate not to know simply because he did not ask, and everybody laughs a little bit again. Well, Fulgham was attending a lecture by a Greek man named Alexander Papaderos, and he asked his question at the end, what is the meaning of life? And when he did, Papaderos reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a small mirror, and he showed what he could do with that mirror, reflecting light all around with it. He explained that he had found this small mirror when he was a child and he used it as a toy. He became fascinated by the fact that he could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine, into deep holes and caves and closets, places the sun never reached. And as he grew up, he explained that it was more than a game. It became a metaphor for what we are to do with our lives. The church and civic organizations and even governments must recognize that we are not the light, nor the source of light, but light and truth and understanding and wisdom in God is here. And that light will only shine in dark places when we reflect it. This, claimed Papaderos, is the meaning of life. And as Christians, we are to reflect the light of the holy, the experience of God's love and grace, which we have been blessed with, and reflect that onto others directly or indirectly in whatever way we can. And that is why we are sometimes blessed with experiences of the holy, experiences of grace to enable and to sustain and to strengthen our own personal ministries. While we are on the plain, or while we walk in the valley, where it is often hard to discern God's presence. We live by the Spirit in the afterglow of His love and majesty, His mercy and His grace. After the vision, then the cloud came, and then the voice, and they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him." And suddenly looking around, no longer did they see anyone with them, but Jesus only. But Jesus alone. Fear not. Jesus overcame death and sin and judgment on your behalf. Fear not. Feel the warmth of the glow of His love and presence and reflect it into all the dark corners of the world. This is our, yours, and my individual ministry to do. Amen. Please be seated.
The Lamb is on my altar.
Receive this blessing. Yes, Lord Jesus, shine your light into our hearts. Show us the darkness that remains and show us the direction that we should go, the way we should use the talents and the wisdom we have gained from pain. Show us and help us feel the full love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness you have given us as our Lord and Savior, and the availability and the compassion and the presence of your Holy Spirit, even now. In Jesus' name, amen.